Blog Talk Radio.
Against us, no matter how bleak things look. Hey, Brother Ron, hey, Sister Lorna,
No matter how bleak things look, we need to understand that our light is a reflection of our relationship and our faith. As we talked about earlier today, we talked about picking up the shield of faith. When we pick up the shield of faith, friends, we're representing, we're taking. Look, if you leave your shield on the ground, you can't be protected. But when you pick it up, you purposely are demonstrating that I'm trusting God to protect me from the fiery darts of the enemy. Amen. So let us go before the Lord in prayer and let us look at what God has to say in this lesson. Has your light gone out? Has your light gone out? Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, that you've given us purpose. You've given us meaning to life, Lord. You've displayed your sovereignty. You've displayed your love, your mercy, your grace, and justice. You loved us when we were dead in our trespasses and sins. You've made us a new creation. Those of us who have embraced you and received the forgiveness of our trespasses know all too well what it means to have our light. You are the light of the world. Lord, if we walk with you, we will never walk in darkness. So those that might be walking in darkness right now, it's because they, at somewhere, sometime, or someplace, Lord, they've neglected you or walked away from you. You never walked away from you. But Lord, let us pick up our cross and follow you daily so that we can be encouraged and stimulated to love and good works. May we decrease and may you increase and may the Spirit of God have his way. Amen. 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 Has your light gone out? Has your light gone out? Many people walking around today, professing believers, I'll say, I can't speak for believers, true believers, mature believers, I'll say this much, they should understand that God never has walked away from them. And if we're not experiencing this relationship at its fullest or the way we should be experiencing it, and I'm talking about mature believers who claim, you know, who have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, there's an issue. There's something going on and something going wrong in our part, never on God's part, because God has given us everything that we need to live a godly life. He's given us purpose. He's given us dominion. He's given us authority. He's given us the ability to be able to walk upright and walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then it's a matter of, are we taking all the authority that God has given us? Are we taking the tools that God has given us? Are we applying the truth that God gives us? Whenever we hear truth, it's our responsibility to apply and then practice. To apply and then put into practice. If we just hear messages just to have fat heads, then we're not practicing the truth. It's not applicable. We're not applying it. We're not taking up our cross. If it's an issue on how we should, you know, handle finances. We hear messages or sermons on finance, or even if you get wisdom from somebody like a banker or something, if he gives you the information and you don't use it, whose fault is it if you go out there and squander your money? Amen. Whose fault is it if you're broke at the end of the year, you know, because you didn't prepare? And I told you my story. I told you that, hey, I made foolish decisions when I had a good job because I didn't think of money as a necessity, or I didn't think of it that, hey, I would need it at one point. You know, there's some people that are very tight-fisted with money, and that's why they have money. They're not covetous. They're just very wise stewards with their money. And there's nothing wrong with being a wise steward. To be a foolish man, it'll cost you. You have to look. You'll be looking back in your 50s saying, I'm not ready to retire. Amen? So we need to understand what it means to walk in the light, or has our light been, has it gone out? And how can we get our light back? The desire of every child of God should be to always live a life in this world, which will always cause other people to stop and wonder and want to know the reason for the unexplainable joy and peace and happiness which they see in our lives. Since we are going to be examples whether we want to be or not, we're going to be somebody, something. We're going to show people something about our character, about how we live, especially when we name the name of Jesus Christ as our authority, as we lay down and say this is our foundation, or this is the person we follow, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. like, you know, during the election, you tell people, hey, look, you know, whoever you voted for, don't matter. Said, but look, hey, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. That's my first priority. Jesus is who I walk with. I'm not concerned with this world over Jesus. The world is not going to move me to the left or the right. I don't care who's in the White House. Jesus Christ is in my house. And when you tell people that, they don't get it. Why? Because they don't understand this light. If they're in the darkness, they can't relate. If they're religious, they can't relate. Because you cannot manufacture this relationship of light. Can't do it. True Christianity shines so bright that the people in darkness don't even understand who you are and what you are. They think you're some kind of radical fanatic. And you are. You're peculiar. You're not of this world. You're an alien. All of those terms are biblical. We're not of this world. And since we're not of this world, people will treat us like we're some kind of weirdos or something. But that's okay. A Christian should always be presenting a picture of Jesus Christ to the world, always allowing the love of Jesus to flow through us abundantly. We should always have a caring attitude toward other people. Toward other people, always be continually concerned about the welfare of others and causing those around us to desire to have what they see in our lives. See, we are going to be a testimony, friends. Whether we are out in the movies, in the grocery store, Walmart, Kmart, I don't care if you're getting gas. We're going to be a test. We're going to be a witness because the light of Jesus Christ is shining. It's shining to others, to the lost, to those who are hopeless, those who seem like they don't understand which way is up. And they'll come to you and ask you, will you pray for me? Because they know it's something peculiar about your life, something different than the Christians that they met before at their local church. We need to understand, friends, that it's important for us to make sure that our light has not gone out and we're representing God to the fullest. Because we do fall short. We do fall short. God's word tells us that our life is to be like a light which burns very brightly in the midst of darkness. Our life should shine as bright as Christmas. As a Christmas tree would shine in the middle of a coal mine. But whether we realize it or not, there are people continually looking at our life every day. I can't tell you how many people watch you. Because you just don't know where you could be at. You could be at a restaurant. You could be in the bathroom, the men's bathroom, the women's bathroom, wherever you may be. Your character is on display. Christ is on display. You might be the only Bible that these people read. Either they're going to see you you're going to be testifying or you're going to be testifying. You're either going to be a testimony or a testifony. And guess what, friends? The world is quick to call you out. All you have to do is mention that you're a Christian, and then they see you do something that's not Christ-like. And it's amazing. It just goes to show you that God didn't really make any atheists down here. The fool says in his heart there is no God, but he's still lying when he says that, because we know without a doubt, friends, imputed righteousness or imputed his light into our hearts. Romans 1:18 tells us that. So that man is without excuse. They know there is a God, even though they deny his power. You can know there's a God and still deny the power that he's able to do to resurrect you. You can deny the fact that, or basically say, yeah, I know God is real, but I don't want nothing to do with him. That's blaspheming the Holy Spirit. That's when God will turn you over to a reprobate mind. Because God is offering you redemption, and you're basically saying, no, I don't want it. People are looking at our lives every day, and the life which they see us live is going to have a lasting effect on what they think about Christianity. We read in Matthew 5:13-16, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor or flavor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a basket, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may what? See your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. He tells us we're the salt of the earth. The salt of the earth, friend. What does this really mean? Salt is a natural product which is used to some degree in almost every kind of food which we eat. It gives taste to food. And back in the day, in the old biblical days, back in the first century, friends, when they used salt, it was a preservative. When you put salt, you basically could have your meat, you cut your meat up. You didn't have no refrigeration system. God was all wise, didn't he? Isn't he amazing how he was able to have preservatives like salt that could dry out your meat and it wouldn't spoil? My. What a wise God we serve. Amen. He tells us this. It is used to some degree in almost every kind of food which we eat. It gives taste to the food, wonderful taste. Much of the food which we eat would taste horrible without salt. Amen to that. I like a little hot sauce on mine, too. I ain't supposed to have none, but y'all ain't going to tell on me, right? In the same way, we as Christians are supposed to be the ones who present joy and peace and love upon the earth. Ain't that like a Christmas carol right now? Joy to the world? Peace? We're supposed to be the representations, and even though they're trying to take our Christmas away from us, they don't want us to worship. They don't want us to worship Christmas. They don't want us to worship the God of Christmas. They want to take our joy away because they're not joyful. Christians are supposed to be the ones who present joy and peace and love upon earth. See, if you're not a Christian, you can't appreciate Christmas the way I can. I can truly appreciate Christmas because it ain't about the fat dude saying ho, ho, ho. It's about holy, 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 the Lord God Almighty. We are the ones who are supposed to cause the earth to be a wonderful place to live. How? By continually being full of love and of joy and God and joy of God and presenting it to the lost people of the earth and showing them how they may be able to obtain it. But if they do not see the love and the joy of the Lord, can we expect them to desire to have it in their life? Look, if we're walking around with an old, sour face and looking all cantankerous, looking all bitter, looking like you ate a whole bag of lemons, what kind of representative is that? You know, you can, listen, a picture can tell 1,000 words, right? Your spouse comes home to you, you know exactly what type of mood they would be in, wouldn't you? If you've been married for over a year, if you see that person come in the house, you can tell when somebody's sad. You can tell when somebody's bitter. You can tell when somebody's angry. You can tell when somebody's sour. It shows on our face. But Christians are supposed to be something that people read. So if we have this joy and this peace and this love, we're supposed to be representing that to the world. Now, does that mean we're going to always show what we feel? No. But we should be striving to make sure that Christ is on display. Christ is on display every day of our lives as much as possible. That's why he tells us to walk in the Spirit and you won't gratify the lust of the flesh. God wants us to do something that we can't do in the natural man by giving it to the Holy Ghost, saying, Lord, I surrender my will to you so that I can be a vessel for you to use me today. I don't feel like it, Lord. And you can be honest with God. Lord, I don't feel like doing this. I don't feel like talking to nobody. I don't feel like being light today. But God is not concerned about how we feel. He just wants us to represent him. But if the salt has lost its savior, where shall it be salted? This Greek word for savior or lost his savior, it means to become a foolish, stupid, or heedless, to become foolish, stupid, or heedless. Jesus is referring here to a follower who loses their spiritual desire to live their life in obedience to his word. a foolish person, a stupid person, who says, I don't want to live for God no more. I don't want to be a faithful servant. I don't want to be a disciple for Jesus Christ. This is what a person who's lost his Savior, not savior, but savior, flavor, or a spiritual. Again, it says to become foolish or stupid or heedless. Jesus is referring here to a follower who loses their spiritual desire to live their life in obedience to his word. You may think of the word savor and favor, power, or outward effect. In this case, when we think of the church of Jesus Christ or any member of it as the salt, we are to think of them as losing their proper effect or their outward impression upon others. In other words, God will put you on a shelf. You're not going to work for him. You're not going to be light in a dark world. You're not going to be the vessel that he wants to use you and I to glorify and to be witnesses and to be a testimony. God says, okay, I'll put you on a shelf. No problem. I see you want to be a hardhead. If I had to put you on a shelf for a few, and then if that don't work, we're chasing you a little more. Because he loves us. Amen. I love the fact that God loves me enough to take me to the woodshed sometimes. That lets me know that he loves me. He don't chasten you, friends. You're not his. If he's not going to discipline you, if he's never going to take care of you or take you to the woodshed when you get out of order, then that's because you're not his. If you've been doing sin from the beginning of your professing salvation all the way, and it's been 20 years later, and you don't never feel the hand of God on your backside, yeah, you lost and you deceived. We need to be careful of that. We don't want to be that person that has lost our Savior, our fervent desire, our fire for the Lord. I don't want to feel like that. I've been like that before, but I don't like when I feel like that. I don't like being away from the Lord for days or days or weeks. I want him to be in my life every day. I need him to be with me every day. We don't want to lose the art. He tells us that these people, we are to think of them as losing their proper effect, not their salvation. Don't get it wrong. It's not about losing your salvation. It's about losing your fire, passion for your faith to be used by God. We can have a moment. We can have a stupid moment, a foolish moment. We're no better than anybody else. We were at one time dead in our trespasses and sin. Guess what? That old man is still trying to resurrect out of the grave sometime, and God has to push him back down there. Hallelujah. But their outward impression upon others, just as the natural salt loses its effect, which it has on the food, just as the natural salt must not ever lose its effect, which it has on the food. The church must never lose its effect, which it has in this world, on all those who are around us. We must always want them to desire to follow and obtain what they see in us, which should always be a reflection of the life of Christ. How they gonna see Christ in us if we're not putting him on display? If I'm walking around here cursing and doing all kinds of dirt and I'm in my flesh and all I'm doing is just sounding like some foolish man. I don't have no joy, no peace. The fruit of the Spirit is nowhere to be found. And what am I saying? What am I representing? I'm representing somebody that maybe don't know the Lord. If that's me on a habit, if I'm doing that as a habit of life, he tells us it is saying in other words. Well, let me go back. It says, wherewith shall it be salted? It is saying, in other words, if the salt loses its effectiveness, how shall the food be salted? When we think of the church as the salt, if we lose our effectiveness as far as the Christian picture, which ain't amiss, the lost people of the world, how shall they ever know the way to coming to Jesus Christ and finding out about the joy and the love and all the wonderful benefits of becoming saved? They need to see that we know what it means to be saved. They should have a desire to see us and want to be saved like us. Not follow us per se, but follow the God that we follow. Follow the Lord and Savior who saved us, who redeemed us, who made us new creations. They don't see that, friends. If they see us walking around who's lost our Savior, lost us, we're not witnessing, we don't want to talk to nobody, we isolate ourselves, mm-hmm. we put ourselves mm-hmm. in this bubble and act like we don't even have no care or no job. God has given us a great commission. Go ye therefore make disciples. And you know, the more that you talk to people, the more easier it becomes to just do what God tells you to do. It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of man. If we as Christians lose our impression of joy and love, which only God can give as we live before those of the world each day, then what is the purpose of him even leaving us here? We are like a box of salt. God says we're like a box of salt, friend, which has dried up and gotten hard. It is only fit to be thrown out, for it has lost its flavor and can no longer be used. You are the light of the world. We as Christians are to be lights in the world. Our lives will shine brightly, as mentioned earlier. We should be seen everywhere we go, just as bright as light traveling down a dark street at midnight. But a light which has gone out is no benefit to anyone. All that can be seen is dark. When a light bulb blows out its filament, it is good for nothing but to be thrown away. So is the life of a Christian who does not let their light so shine as let their light shine. Has your light gone out? Has my light gone out? Or are we still shining brightly? Does the world see something different in us? Do our family members see something different in us? To the point maybe where they don't even want to be around you because the light is shining. You don't ever take it, well, they don't like me no more. They don't seem to want to come around. Sometimes that's a good thing. I'm sad to say, hey, God removes people from you when they don't want to be what you are. When they're trying to hinder your flow, when they're trying to stop your shine. You know, they're trying to stop your shine. When the light is shining mm-hmm. bright, don't try to put it out. Let it shine bright. I never forget what John Wesley. John Wesley was quoted as saying, if you see me burning, don't try to put me out. Pour more gasoline on me. Hallelujah. That's what the Christian should be doing. Sitting over there burning. Burning for the Lord. Burning for the Lord. For righteousness. For holiness. For godliness. We are the light of the world. We don't need to be put out. We need to shine bright because our God in heaven has given us a mission. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. It is never hard to find a city which sets up on the top of a hill or a mountain. For there will be bright light shining all over or all around in every direction. One can see the city from very far away. I remember, oh, man, this was beautiful. About last year before I had my, I think I had a couple, about four heart attacks in the truck last February. But in January, I took a trip from Houston, not a trip, but a trip work. I was driving trucks still. I was driving tankers, and I had to go up to Denver. First time I made that trip up to Denver, to Colorado, trucking anyway. I had been there once before on a real trip, vacation. But this was the first time that I took a trip or a road trip driving trucks. And I was a little nervous because that's mountains, and I'm a little scared of, a little timid around mountain areas. But, hey, we got over there. I think I left Houston Saturday morning. I think I arrived in Denver somewhere about, let's see, it was almost 24 hours with stopping because I had to stop for my break. But I only had one layover. I had one layover, and that was in West Texas. I was over in West Texas where I stopped at, and then I kept it pushing next morning. But I got to Denver somewhere around 7, 8 o'clock that Sunday night. But I remember going down, going up through Denver and Colorado Springs, and I'd been there once before, but I was You know, you up in them high altitudes, and you look down sometimes. You look, and you're on this top of this mountain. You look down in cities, and they're in the lower mountains, and sometimes you see big mountains, and you see the Rockies, and you see lights up there on these dark highways, on these dark roads. And a lot of that in Texas, a lot of mountain area in Texas and West Texas, especially Northwest Texas, because I went up through the Texas Panhandle. So, you know, it was snow up there in Amarillo. I think I stopped in Amarillo for the night on Saturday night, man. It was about 2 inches of snow down there. But, you know, this reminds me of this, how that you should shine, how that little flicker of light you can see down the highway on a little dark road, you can see that little flicker of light. And it's, you know, you might be hundreds of miles away. You might be hundreds of miles away. God wants us to shine like that. No matter where we at, our life is to represent Christian authority or Christian principles. Wherever we go, we need to take Christ with us. You hear this stuff, this foolishness, separation of God, church and state. What kind of foolishness is that? If God separated himself from church or from the state, friends, we'd all be dead because Satan would be in control. Amen? It's all this foolishness about separation of church and state. God is in authority of all creation, all life, all government. So where they get this foolishness from? I tell you where they got it from the pit of hell. But that's not in the Bible. There's no separation of church and state. The bride of Christ is standing. Might not look the way it's going to look, but she's being adorned right now. Jesus Christ is building his church, and there's not going to be nothing that anybody can do about that. The life of every Christian should shine in the same way, just like a city that is built up on a hill, casting out light in every direction. See, when your light is shining, friends, people are watching you. They might not ever say nothing. Maybe 5 months, 6 months, 7 months, and then all of a sudden they're asking you questions. Man, I heard you're a Christian. Or, sister, I heard you're a Christian. And then they want some counseling. What do you think about this? And that's an opportunity for you and I, friends, to be vessels, to be ministering agents. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter to always be ready to give an answer for the reason and hope that lies within us, with meekness and with respect. It's not time to shy away. That's why it's so important for us to grow, to mature, to be built up in our most holy faith. We need to be ready to give answers to those who are hopeless, those who seem hopeless, those who don't seem to understand why the world is the way the world is, and not understanding that sin has infected all of us. But God has the antidote for that particular cancer. Amen? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the one that already bought us and purchased us from Satan's market of slaves. Now we're his slave. We're Jesus' slave. Amen? I'm a slave to righteousness. I can say that with authority. I am a slave of righteousness. Do I always, do I live perfect? No. But I'm no longer a slave to sin, according to Romans 6. I'm a slave to righteousness. And you're a slave to righteousness if you love Jesus, if you worship, if he is your Messiah, if he is the Lord of lords, the King of kings in your life, and every day you're looking for, Lord, how can I please you? Not how can I please myself. See, I got to die. I need to die every day. We see again, he says, love and joy should be shared abroad from every area of our life. We need more love. Not this mushy, mushy, feely, touchy, all this. No, we need biblical agape love, not sloppy love. Too many people around here in their feelings, and we need to get in our Bible and get in our faith. We don't need more feelings. Too many emotions going around here. Men acting off effeminate. God wants us to man up as men. Need more men, godly men, standing up, being men. That's when women will submit. They'll follow you, your lead, as you lead, led by the Holy Spirit. But when you're walking around here in your emotions and all, man, please, go man up. As Dr. Tony Evans say, hey, you know, too many men are being sissified nowadays. We don't need no more. We don't need more women. We need men to be men. And see, that lie from the pit of hell, another lie from the pit of hell, is that they're telling you we're all the same. That's a lie. Because I see women and I don't see me. When I look at a woman is totally different and built totally different than I am. Hallelujah. Too many women around here trying to be men and men trying to be women. When did God flip the script? Never. The God of this world did that. He's the author of confusion, not Jesus Christ. Need to get. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel or a basket or cover it up, but on a candlestick. This bushel or basket, this bushel is the Greek word which means modius or a utensil, a pot, a pan. If we light a candle and then place a utensil or a pot over it, the flame will immediately go out and will shed no light. See, when you and I are covered up and hiding and walking around fearful and wondering, what they're going to think about me? Oh, God didn't give us the spirit of fear, but of power and a sound mind. And he told us to shine. He left us here for the purpose of shining. See, if God didn't want us to be a part of his plan of bringing in people, bringing in dead souls, then he would have raptured us up at the moment we gave our life to him. It would be our purpose down here if he's not going to use us. But he wants to use each and every one of us. I see you there, Sister Kiva. Thank you for being here. Brother Joe, God bless you. We need to let our light shine. We all know that candles are made to give us light when we need it. We also know that if we expect a candle to burn, then we cannot cover it up, but we must leave it in the open space on the candlestick where it can get oxygen, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. When we light a candle or when you shine light, it gives light. You go into a dark room, you go into a dark area, you shine a flashlight, you can see. It illuminates the room. We should be illuminating rooms when we walk in. If you're working in the executive a job or something, you should let your light shine. People should know you because of the array that we shine. When we're walking in the spirit place, we can't see what the spirit world sees, but there are people that know us by our fruit. They know us by the light that we're shedding. They know us by our conversation, but more than that, they know us by how we talk, how we live, and how we carry ourselves. They know us. Jesus told us that dead trees can't bear good fruit. And good trees don't bear bad fruit. So God has already told us firsthand, you can't manufacture this fake relationship with him. Who we really are is a matter of who we represent and who lives in us. Do Jesus Christ live in you, or is one of them demon spirits in you? Because you're either a child of God or a child of the devil. You're not both. And you might be, you haven't really truly embraced this personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You haven't truly surrendered your all. And today is the day you can do that. You can get real with him and watch God draw you in. He tells us if we draw close to him, throw a little pot, we throw a little hint. To bring glory to and honor unto our Heavenly Father. The life we live before others should always cause them to want to get involved in what they see coming out of us. It should always cause them to want to live a life which glorifies God as they see it happen in us. We also read in Matthew 6:22-23, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? The light of the body is the eye. This scripture is basically telling us that The eye is the prime important part of the body, for the physical body is led around by the eye. Led around by the eye. And without the eye, the body has no means of being able to know where to move. It is a light which shows the body its way through darkness. A person who is physically blind is just as one who is always in darkness, because they cannot see anything at all. Just as if their eyes are always completely closed. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body be full of light. This Greek word, to be folded, to be together, braided together, or to be in unison with the whole portion of the physical body. This scripture is telling us that if anything, whether it be physical body or whatever it may be, is going to receive the full benefit of its purpose for creation, then every part of it must work together in perfect manner. Then, as it does such, it truly will get the complete benefit that it was created to receive. It's just like if you had, you know, if you never moved your arms around, they wouldn't be getting the full benefit as they need to be. If the shoulder wasn't working and you couldn't move your arm and swing your arms or lift weights or push a door, push things, lift things, it would be useless. It'd be useless. I got a hairline tear right here. I've been going to physical therapy for almost about a third week, I think. So, yeah, I've been going for a minute. But that hairline tear is causing tremendous pain after I come out of physical therapy. And I'm limited. If I can't lift weights on this arm, I can't lift anything heavy on this arm, certain movements cause me excruciating pain. I can put heat on, I can put ice on it. Doesn't always help. Then as it does such, it truly will get the complete benefit of what it was created to receive. But if thine eye be evil, this Greek word means to bring forth anguish or pain, or to be vicious, sinful, wicked, or bad. Let me try to pronounce this word, this Greek word, paneros, to bring forth anguish or pain, or to be vicious, sinful, wicked, or bad. Thy whole body shall be full of darkness. The word darkness here is gotinos, means benighted, obscurity, or without light or ability to function properly. This figuratively representing a person's heart. Anytime darkness is in our heart, friends, not good. It's without light or ability to function properly. This figuratively representing a person's dark heart. A person always decides with their heart whether or not they will walk in obedience to God's word, which is as walking in light, or they can choose to be disobedient to God's word or walk in sin, which is as walking in darkness. You and I have made choices. We have thought about it, we have contemplated it, we have thrown it around in our mind, we've done all of that, and we came up with a decision when we wanted to do some sin, and we knew that it was wrong, but we still did it anyway. And there's been times when we contemplated doing some sin, and because we were walking in the Spirit, we said, oh no, I'm not going to participate in that. People try to get you, oh, come on, let's go do this, let's go hang out here, let's go. Nope. It's just certain places, you know, as believers, we just can't go no more. It's not legalism. It's for our benefit. It's a good thing that we don't go certain places or where our flesh wants to go get fed. Because I'm telling you, friends, once you start feeding your flesh, I don't care how long you've been a believer, it won't take long for your flesh to start taking you places and you can't stop. Sin will take you farther than you ever thought you would go, keep you longer than you ever planned on staying there, and drop you off in the lake of fire. Sin will do to it. That's why it's wise to stay in the light. It's wise to walk according to God's plan and purpose. Continue to fight the good fight, put on the full armor of God, and be what God called us to be, light bearers. He wants us to represent the light. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? In other words, if a person decides to walk in sin or in darkness, how great is that life of sin which they live? How awful is it to choose to live in sin rather than to live a life which is pleasing to God? When we do so, we deny ourselves of the promises of his many blessings, of his hand of protection being continuously upon us, and of having the peace and spiritual comfort that only can come, that only God can give us. See, I want what God has for me, friends. And I'm going to tell you something, friends. I'm tired of going to the back of the line. Every time we step away from God, every time we decide to take a shortcut, you go to the back of the line. And you don't know how many years ago you missed the blessing that you're asking for right now because you went to the back of the line. Said, I was about to bless you, but guess what? Oh, you want to take a shortcut? Back of the line. And when you go to the back of the line, you go through the trials all over again. You're going to go through the trials. God is going to mature us one way or the other. He's going to mature us. It goes without saying. He will send you to the back of the line as long as you're on planet Earth. The choice is how many times you want to go to the back of the line. And ain't no cuts. You ain't going to get no cuts. Hey, man, can I get up front, get ahead of you? No. Come on, man, let me get up. No, not going to happen. To the back of the line. Now, you to the back line. Guess what? Some other people will come behind you. We don't always go to the back. We ain't the only ones. It's going to be some other knuckleheads like we was knuckleheads. It's going to go to the back of the line. I want God's protection. I want to continuously have his blessings, his peace, the spiritual comfort that only God can give me. I'm tired of going to the back of the line. So how are we choosing to live our life now? Have we allowed the light to go out? For the sake of your own soul, please stop for just a moment and take a closer look at the life which you are living. Is your light burning bright in your soul, or are you walking in darkness? That's a question only you can ask. Answer and ask, or you can ask and answer. That's all. You have to answer that for yourself. Think about it. For Jesus is coming soon, very soon. We will now go to Matthew 25:1-13. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth. You know what? I'm going to pause here because for the sake of time, this is a long one. I actually taught on this some years back on my podcast. You can go in there and hear this, the parable of the 10 virgins, but I will come back tomorrow with this particular, on this particular, these verses, Matthew chapter 25, verse 1-13, and the parable of the 10 virgins. But I want us to understand, friends, that God wants us to walk in the light. He wants us to receive all that he has for us. And it's simple, but it's still a challenge because our flesh always desires to do the opposition. The world is trying to pull us in opposition. And, of course, Satan himself is trying to pull us in opposition. And he's not really the biggest threat. The world is not the biggest threat. The biggest threat is us, thing that we tote around because our eyes see and we have a lust problem. Our ears hear and we have a lust problem. The pride of life, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, all those things are hindering us from being what God wants us to be. And that's why it's so important for us, friends, to daily make a declaration and a decree that we will serve the Lord, that we will be children of the day and not children of the night. And it's a matter of application and dedication. Are we going to pick up our cross daily and walk in the light? I made a choice to do that. Some days I fall short, but most days I get the victory because he is my triumphant Lord and Savior. He's already won this war. I'm just a soldier. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, Lord God, we thank you, Lord God, for just reminding us of, I know most of us already know it, Lord, but thank you for reminding us how wonderful you are, how much you have given us, Lord God. You've given us your Holy Spirit to be able to do the things that are impossible to do in the flesh. You've given us the opportunity, the authority, Lord God, to be able to resist the devil, and he will flee. But we can only resist him, Lord, in the spirit. We can only resist him, Lord God, with the word of truth. Lord, we ask right now, Lord God, if any of us right now, any of us need to confess, if we need to get right, we need to get rid of some things, some people, whatever it is that we need to turn from, Lord, and just turn back to you, Lord. Might be some people that's prodigal sons or prodigal daughters right now. They've been out there looking in, and they know they don't have no peace, no joy. All they got is the flesh and the world and the devil. Right now, they can come home, Lord. Right now, they can come home. You want them to come home. It's just a matter of surrendering, confessing and repenting and just turning back to the true and living God, our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for this time of fellowship. We thank you for the opportunity to share this message of hope and of encouragement, Lord. Each and every one of us can walk in the light. None of us have to be outside in darkness. It's just a matter of giving up our will and walking in your will. We thank you, Lord. We love you. We praise you. And we bless your holy name. And everybody here, Lord God, may all be filled with the Spirit and encouraged in your love. In Jesus' name, we thank you and praise you. We say amen, amen, amen. We're going to pick up part two of this tomorrow evening, sometime tomorrow afternoon or so, because it's kind of lengthy. So I want to kind of start fresh. But remember, tomorrow morning we'll be back. We'll be back for prayer. I can't remember how to say it. It's a long day. But we basically will be back in the morning for our devotion in prayer through praise. Prayer through praise. And we're just going to get daily encouragement in our devotional of how to just praise God or pray through our praise. And it's an opportunity for us to just spend that time with God, and you know, I'm just here for that small little time for us to encourage you. But hey, you go in your prayer closet, you go in your house, and you praise God, and you just thank God, and walk through your house and thank Him, give Him the honor and glory. Wake up in the morning, or if you wake up before me, hey, whenever the Lord wakes you up, He's waking you up for a reason. He's waking you and me up for a reason to spend time with Him. You get up at 2 a.m, hey. You can't go back to sleep right away. Go before the Lord. Talk to Him. Or just listen. Say, Lord, I'm here to just listen. I'm here to hear from you, heaven. I just want to know what you got to talk to me. I want to know what my purpose. What's your purpose for me? You'd be amazed at what God has to say to you. Put some soft piano music on or worship music on and just praise God. Or just sit silent and let Him minister to you. Whatever the Lord is doing in your life, He's doing it because He wants you to grow. He wants you to spend time with Him. Everybody's got a position to play. Everybody's got a role to play. It's a matter of, are we going to let God use us for His perfect will? Hey, I'm Minister Dale Kendrick coming to you live from Southern California. I want to thank you guys for being here this evening. I know it's late somewhere. I see a few people here from the East Coast, so I know it's late on your end, but I want to just thank you guys for coming out, for the love, for the expression of love when you watch these. And you can also go on my podcast. This is being recorded on my podcast. I didn't give out the call number because not having a computer, I can't really see the call-ins like I want to. So we'll work on that. We're working on getting a computer, but right now we're just continuing to do what God is allowing us to do. And hey, we don't have much, but we got Him. And He's allowing me to be used for His glory and His purpose. So I just want to thank you guys for the encouragement. And again, if you can financially stand with us and support us through the GoFund account, whatever the Lord puts on your heart, whatever amount between you and the Lord, hey, perfectly do so. But continue to pray for us. Continue to pray for my health. Continue to pray for my disability and my military claim and all the things that I'm waiting on right now as someone who has had an income in about a year. So I'm just grateful that the Lord is continually using me, and I am so humbled that God is still on the throne, and I am not abandoned. He hasn't forsaken me, and I'm so encouraged. I'm just encouraged when I see more and more people coming out, and you guys are sharing these messages with people. I appreciate that. Not me. I'm just a vessel. I don't want nobody to come here to see Daryl. I want you to come here to grow, because that's all I'm going to do is represent Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and we all should have that same mentality. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through Him. So may the Lord bless you and keep you and make His face shine upon you and give you His peace this evening. Sleep well and let the Lord minister to you tonight.